B-Pod Studios.
Noah says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. It's Felger Maserati on a Thursday.
Yep, Thursday.
Super Bowl bye week. Maz, how you doing?
Good, you?
Peachy, thank you so much. We have a fully loaded program with Big Jim Murray in our update studio, Jimmy Stewart, and T-Bone behind the glass for us today. Ted Johnson will be joining us in the 3 o'clock hour. A little TJ action at 3 o'clock.
We'll have to start calling these Ted Johnson Thursdays.
Tell you what, that's it. It's what we got right here, and he's
to Teddy the Neck Thursday.
He's got his list of items and his biceps. He'll be in studio here starting at 3 o'clock. But I wanted to start with something I heard yesterday on our fine midday program, Beetle and Zolak. Okay, Zolak and Beetle. They had on our buddy Kyle Van Noy, who has had a heck of a year, and he's turned into a nice little interview for those guys. Kyle Van Noy, when things are going well and they're winning, seems like a tremendous guy. Like, I would describe this interview he had yesterday with them as euphoric, as freaking euphoric.
He was giddy.
Oh, my God.
I thought he sounded high.
So I
thought... Just saying.
Molly, ecstasy, something. He was euphoric yesterday. So he gave him some good stuff, and he said one thing in particular, and I'll start with the long version, Jimmy, is he said something that I had not really considered. I had not and have not heard a Patriots player say. I feel like he may have even gone off script there. Like, if Bill read it, he'd say, we're not talking about this. But, well, here it is. And it starts with Beetle and Zoe talking about the scene in the Patriots locker room last week in Kansas City, how, to use a word again, euphoric the Patriots were, how celebratory and how really over the top they were after beating the Chiefs. Listen to this exchange.
I've never seen a locker room that excited and as emotional, even after Super Bowl wins, because I think the Super Bowl takes
right.
so much
out of you mentally. Kyle, you've won the AFC Championship game twice before these last couple of years.
Never saw that.
This one felt special. Was this one special to you and your teammates?
Yeah. You know, it kind of gave me chills thinking about it, just because of everything. This year has been amazing, and to go on the road like that against a team like that and come out with a win, it was, you know, I'll tell my kids about that one. That was special. And then do it with the guys that are here is we're really close. And I think honestly, just after what happened last year in the Super Bowl and, you know, I feel like guys are hungry, and I feel like we got humbled, and it was a humbling experience, and, you know, we're not taking things for granted, and it's beautiful when it happens like that, and, you know, not the losing part, but to go through a humbling experience and the process to be where we're at now, it's that much more satisfying.
Simple thing, but I never heard a Patriot express that before. They're motivated by losing the Super Bowl last year.
Humbling.
It was humbling. We're not taking anything for granted, which is implying they may have taken things for granted last year.
Correct. Yeah,
they kind of slapped it out there, thought that they could show up and beat up on Nick Foles.
Fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I think what he's telling you is, that, you know, and this is probably true of the whole...
Can I just stop? Fascinating for us because the Patriots player never goes there. It's just about today's practice and getting better today and blah, blah, blah.
Cliche.
Or else you're fined. So they're not allowed to talk in those terms, generally speaking. And again, that's why I think Van Noy was a little off script. So I'm saying it's interesting to us because Patriots players don't talk like that. If you ask Bill about that, he'd say, I'm just worried about today. I'm worried about the Rams. I'm worried about today's practice. And he wouldn't give you squat on that. But Kyle Van Noy in this setting with Beetle and Zoe is we were humbled last year and the way it ended last year. And we're not taking anything for granted. And now all insert in parentheses like we did last year. And I never considered this. And, well, let me tell you, I think that's a powerful thing for the Patriots. It's something they have in their favor. It makes them more dangerous
Definitely.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, again, you know, we talk all the time. How many times have we said it? The last team to go to the Super Bowl after losing it was the Bills. It happened 4 years in a row for them. But, you know, I think it's not always apples to apples. But look at recent sports history here. When teams have suffered what you would deem to be, you know, ignominious failures, they bounce back the next year. The Bruins did it and won the Cup. They got swept by Philly the year before. Or they were up 3-0 and blew a 3-0 lead and lost four straight. The next year, they won the Cup. The Red Sox lost in 03. They came back. They won the World Series the next season. It can happen that way.
Do you think the Pats owe us one? Owe themselves one?
Yeah.
I think they feel they owe themselves one.
You think they feel they left one on the table last year?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you think, you know, it's funny. The first thing I'm thinking of here, too, hearing him say that, and I took it lightly at the time because I didn't think it was anything, but remember, again, Belichick goes to the Timberwolves game midweek. Like, that's typically not something you would see when this team goes to the Super Bowl. They're dialed in. They're locked in. It just did feel a little bit loose. Then you had the Butler thing, and maybe they felt a little bit cocky because you had Tom Brady playing at a literal MVP level. And so maybe they looked at it like how a lot of fans did,
backup quarterback.
Nick Foles, we can show up. Here we are. We're a dynasty here. All we got to do is show up, and we'll win this game, especially with the way that Brady's playing.
Patriots players aren't supposed to talk like this. I mean, the rest of the world is. There's nothing abnormal about this. So if, like, someone from out of market is listening to this,
you know, refreshing.
Saying, what's the big deal? Well, no, but for everyone else, it's like, what's the big deal? He's talking about last year's Super Bowl, of course. But here, they're not even allowed to go there. I don't feel like, I mean, because no one's, have you heard one player mention this?
No.
All year about last year's Super Bowl and how that's sort of in their thinking this year? I mean, again, just this little sequence right here.
I think, honestly, just after what happened last year in the Super Bowl and, you know, I feel like guys are hungry and I feel like we got humbled and it was a humbling experience and, you know, we're not taking things for granted.
Okay, that part. Have you ever heard a Patriots player say last year was humbling?
No.
I mean, because it's implying that they were overconfident or, you know, implying that they had the wrong mindset. I mean, there's nothing wrong with losing a close, tight game to a good team, but being humbled is sort of that either happens in a blowout loss or something you weren't prepared for.
Right, when you start to think you're invulnerable, then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, where did that come from? We got caught off guard a little bit. And that can be an awakening reality is what it can be.
I think that's a powerful thing in their favor, if that's really what's going on in there. And Van Noy is the only one I've heard talk about it, but, well, let me ask you this. Do you think Bill Belichick believes he left one on the table? He?
Yes.
He?
Yeah, so I'm wondering.
Personally, does he say to himself or to the world or to his franchise in his head, I owe you one too?
Yes.
No.
I don't know.
No. Oh, I think he does.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I'm hearing this from Van Noy. This is the first time I'm hearing. I wonder if he's had a conversation with the locker room at some point. You know, like this kind of mea culpa, like, hey, we screwed up. We left one out there collectively, and that started with me.
So you say, do you think he owes one to the franchise? No. Do I think that Bill went home and kicked himself for that game? Yeah.
Nope.
I do.
I don't. I don't think he takes ownership of his mistakes.
Oh, I think he does. I just don't think he shows it publicly.
I think Bill goes home after that night and says, we had the ball with 3 minutes left down four, just where we wanted to be, and my quarterback fumbled. That's what Bill thinks. Bill doesn't think about the Malcolm Butler thing because he doesn't take ownership of that.
Yeah. Do you think he takes ownership of the 41 points they gave up?
On the 4th and 2 in Indianapolis? He doesn't think about that's the wrong call. He thinks the ref screwed me on the spot. Kevin Falk got it. And oh, by the way, Kevin Falk's got to get that extra half yard. It was 4th and 1 because that's what he calls it 4th and 1. He doesn't even think it's 4th and 2. He doesn't take ownership of his mistakes.
Yeah, not publicly. Not publicly. But when he goes home and shuts the door and there's no one else around, you don't think he sits there and goes, I should have done that different.
I don't think he says that about Malcolm Butler.
Okay, but I'm not saying everything, but I'm saying you're telling me he didn't go home after that Super Bowl last year and say, 41 points. We shouldn't have done it that way. That was a mistake. I think he does.
I bet.
He's too competitive not to.
Yeah, I just don't think he's great at... I mean, he never shows us, so how would I know?
He wouldn't do it publicly, not in a million years. No, that part not. I agree
of
with you
not.
On.
Of course not. But I think he's more likely to go home and say, effing Patricia, I told him not to split those safeties against that look, and he kept splitting those safeties. I told him.
I mean, the fans think he's infallible, but if he feels that way about himself, like, I mean, that's a massive character flaw.
Well, I'll tell you what, the timing is good because Van Noy said it the way he did. Someone actually asked Belichick today at the press conference whether the team is motivated by the Super Bowl loss.
Oh, so maybe someone heard that interview.
So I think we should contrast Bill's answer with Van Noy's answer is what we should do.
I haven't a chance to look at the transcript. Let's grab that for sure.
It landed right before the show.
Okay, so he Bill is not, you know, I'm just worried about today. I'm just worried about the Rams. I'm just trying to get ready for the Rams. I'm just trying to get today's practice. He's not going to say, I'd be stunned. I guess he was called up right now, but to say, yeah, we're motivated by last year's Super Bowl loss. We left one out there.
Yeah, you won't get it. I'm with Maz. You won't get it publicly, but I can't believe that he goes home and looks in the mirror like he's Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live and just, oh, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and people like me. I don't make mistakes.
2009, I mean, we got an inside look. He says, you get on top of Moss, you get underneath Welker. What do we have? We have nothing. Bill doesn't say anything about, I signed the wrong guy here in a Dalis Thomas. Randy Moss's, you know, shelf life is rapidly running out. He's turning into a dog. I mean, he's not taking ownership of any of those things. He's saying our game plans are bad or we're one-dimensional. I mean, I don't feel like – I don't know. I've never heard Bill point the finger at himself. Rarely.
No, it's rare, again, publicly anyway. But, you know, I do think that
– Do the Patriots owe you one for Malcolm Butler? Do they owe you one for the Super Bowl? Do they owe you one, Murray?
Yes, absolutely, because I never got an answer. We're never going to get a real answer. So, yes, I feel owed. I want my Super Bowl win, damn it.
I mean, I'll tell you, there is a sense.
So greedy.
There is something of a sense with this game that, like, you know, they got back there. Wow, what an achievement. Did they get back to lose? They get back to lose again? Is that what they're going to do? Like, to me, that, you know, there's a significant stake there.
So the way last year ended plays in their favor. It plays in their favor. It's always easier, and not that you should need motivation for a Super Bowl, but, you know, human nature. I mean, Van Noy just expressed it. How come this one felt different? You know, anyone who was in that locker room says this one felt different. This one, you know, why the euphoria? You've won AFC title. It's a third straight AFC title. You know, well, why was this one? And he says, we're not taking anything for granted. It was humbling last year. So that's a powerful thing. That's something in their favor because it is a little something extra. We're not going to let that happen again. And so if I were a Patriots fan, I'd feel good about that. Do you? To your thoughts right after these words. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady lines them up. He's back again. He steps on. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. Let the celebration begin!
Of course that would motivate the Patriots. It should motivate the Patriots. That Van Noy articulates it? Just tells you that. And I think this is interesting only in New England because players aren't allowed to talk in those terms. Maz, if you got one leg in yesterday and one leg in tomorrow, you're taking a leak on today.
I've heard that.
Okay, so that's sort of the way it goes down there. You're not allowed to say we left one on the table last year because that's also, in Bill's mind, demeaning the Eagles. What do you mean you were humbled last year? Oh, you thought you were going to, you know, so it's sort. But again, that's what Van Noy said yesterday to Beadle and Zoe. And so someone followed up with Belichick today on is that loss to Philly motivating you? And I haven't heard the answer, but I think it's what you would expect.
Do you think last year's Super Bowl loss the Patriots extra hungry to win this year?
Well, I think, you know, right now, this football team is this football team. It's not any other one. And we're going to do the best we can to perform as well as we can against the Rams. And that's going to be a huge challenge. But it's really just about us right now. There's nothing in the past that does or doesn't help us. So we're going to bond together and coach and play as well as we can next Sunday night.
Okay. So that's exactly what you'd expect from
Belichick.
I mean,
it's so typical of him. It is. It's so typical.
So again, just give me the short one. This is why Van Noy here, this is off script.
I think, honestly, just after what happened last year in the Super Bowl and, yeah. You know, I feel like guys are hungry and – I feel like we got humbled, and it was a humbling experience, and, you know, we're not taking things for granted.
Okay, so there you go. That's just how we're starting the show. What do you think? They owe you one? Does Bill think he owes you one? Does Bill acknowledge in his heart he owes you one, that he made a mistake? Curious about all that. To your calls, as promised. Paul in Rhode Island. You can call someone whatever you want. Patriots, Rams, go nuts. Here's Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Paul.
Thank you for my call. Always love your show. Sometimes I don't catch you, but I can actually say that we lost the Super Bowl last year by 3 field goals that we missed. But the reason I'm calling is I don't really like this thing of...
Okay, get the okay, I just his comment line said Brian Flores. Here is a parallel. If Bill thinks he did anything wrong, it was the defensive game plan. I just, given what might have happened with Butler, or that, you know, it was clearly something off the grid that kept him off the field, right? So whatever that was, is Bill going to look back and say, I made a mistake on Butler because the thing off the grid wasn't important? No, if it was important to him, then it's important to him now. I don't think he has, but would he look back and say, how do we allow 41 points to that jamoke? So the game plan, I'm sure. And I, like I said, the way he thinks, he probably goes home and says, effing Patricia. Patricia last year had he already taken that Detroit job, or he was earmarked for it, right? So this is similar with Flores, where Flores is, he had his second meeting with the Dolphins yesterday. He's got the job. One report is they formally offered it to him, and he's taken it, and that's it. And we've known this now for a couple weeks. And I can't remember exactly the timeline with Patricia, but it had to have been similar.
I mean, hell, he was going to lose both coordinators last year.
Okay, so, all right, they were going to lose both coordinators last year. And you know who's been completely silent for the last 2 weeks? Brian Flores.
Exactly, yeah.
The Patriots have to make a defensive coach available every week. It's usually Flores. It's been like, I forget the guy's name, the D-line coach yesterday or the day before.
And one of those weeks was in Steve Belichick one
yeah,
of them?
Yeah, Steve Belichick did it one of the weeks. So it's like, they're not letting Flores talk. They won't have a choice next week. But I don't know. So, I mean, there's a parallel. The caller, I think, was about to say it bothers him that Flores can take this job and still coach the team. How do you feel about that?
No, that doesn't bother me because, again, this is the reality of that league. I mean, it happens every year to every team, for crying out loud. It happened with Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl for the Falcons, right? And yep. Maybe that's a bad example because that one bit them in the ass.
Well, did it bite Patricia in the ass last year?
Well, so maybe. But when I'm talking about Bill, I don't think Bill looks at the fan base and says, I owe you one. Oh, please. There's no way he would say that to the fan base. I'm talking about to himself.
To himself.
To himself.
On Malcolm Butler?
No, maybe not on Butler. No, but on the game. Like, we should have done this differently. He's way too competitive to just write it off as, well, they were the better team.
I don't think he believes that.
No, I don't think he believes that either. I think that he would look at it and go, how did we give up 41 points to those guys?
I'm just curious if he blames himself or he blames others. I'm just curious. Because
he's got to hold himself accountable on some level. I mean, look, what do I know? He's Bill Belichick. Maybe he doesn't. But I have to believe there's some measure of humanity there where he goes home at the end of the day and says, we should have covered Zach Ertz on third down. And that's my fault. I'm the head coach. I have to believe that.
Ben in Gloucester. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah. Salga, ever since the 2017 draft where Bill only picked 4 players and you didn't hit one on your stupid draft board that you do every year, but you put a personal vendetta against him. And it's irritating. You think Belichick became the best coach ever by never admitting he's wrong, by not looking what he does and change it on the fly, adapting? That's ridiculous.
So it's just not what I know him to be. And the grudge against Bill started in 2017 when we didn't get a name on the big board. Wow.
Started way before that.
I was going to say, I think you're a little late to the party. But anyway, I don't feel that about him. I don't. I feel like, I don't know. I don't feel that's in his makeup. He's not a good loser. He's not even a good winner. But when he wins, I mean, from what I hear from him, when he wins, he will tell you, yeah, we worked on that on Friday. But you'll never hear that in a loss. We didn't work on that on Friday. We should have. He'll never say that. He'll never give you, the fan, or the media the satisfaction ever, ever, ever. So I don't know if that enters his thinking.
Yeah, but again, that's the public part of it. So listen, I'm not, and again, I'm not sitting here telling you what Bill Belichick is or isn't. And I know you hate this, but you have better knowledge of him than I do.
Definitely. I know him intimately.
Okay, I didn't say you knew him intimately. I said you have better knowledge of him than I do. Okay, but I would tell you that I have to believe, as a human being, Now, again, publicly, oh, please, he would shoot snot rockets at all of us rather than give us some measure of satisfaction that he had failed. He will never, ever, ever do that, or rarely will he do that.
Do you believe in his heart of hearts he left one on the table last year? Because the players do, according to Van Noy.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do too.
They whiffed on that game plan. They did. They whiffed on it.
Dave in South Boston. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, guys? Hey, you got to remember one thing about last year, guys. This is a whole different team. We limped into the playoffs last year. We have the two best offensive tackles in football this year. We had the two worst last year. Hightower didn't play. Edelman didn't play. Okay, we had a lot of injuries. Van Noy shouldn't have played last year. Butler was ranked the worst cornerback in football. He was the worst cornerback in football this year. Eric Rowe was hurt last year. He was healthy for the playoffs, and he started in the Super Bowl. That was not a very good Eagles team, and we still should have beat him with our second string.
So you said like 4 million things there. Are the Pats in better shape this year than last year? Yes, in some respects, yes. You're not playing last year's Patriots. You're playing a whole different team. So you're playing, on paper, in many respects, a better team than the Eagles team. I mean, I just think you are. So that's what that's about. It's about you facing the Rams, not you last year. But I will say you losing last year and losing in that fashion and leaving one on the table and playing a way that you never should have played and the players acknowledging it is a good thing for you. I think that plays in your favor.
So I can't tell you how much of what I disagree with what the caller just said. Like, the offensive line was, you know, and I'm not telling you the offensive line is last year was better than this year because this year's offensive line has been awesome. You know how many times did Brady get sacked in the Super Bowl last year?
Well, does strip sack count?
One.
Okay, that was it.
One sack. They averaged 5 yards a rush. Brady passed for 500 yards. The offensive line was bad in that game. Philly's defensive line is awesome. Absolutely awesome. My recollection is they scored in that game. That's my recollection. And Eric Rowe was hurt. So now Eric Rowe is a better option than J.C. Jackson? Like, this is all bull crap. Okay, it's all bull. Let's not have revisionist history here that all of a sudden they were in perfectly good shape going into that Super Bowl.
100% should have won that ball game. And Van Noy feels that way, does Bill? And if so, does he take any personal responsibility to himself, or is it all a bad game plan from Patricia? Or my quarterback fumbled the ball, we're down 4 points, 3 minutes left. Ball in the hands of Tom Brady, just what we wanted, right?
And by the way, Gronk was healthy. 9 catches, 2 touchdowns, 116 yards. I mean, can we put a sock in it like all of a sudden last year was some type of... That call pissed me off. Like, we're going to rewrite history now that somehow that team was on fumes?
Yeah, we aren't. He is. Anthony on Cape Cod. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing, Felger, you freak? Listen... I wanted to look at it from the other perspective, okay, from the Rams' perspective at how they're going to win this game. Because I think if the Patriots are able to do what they've been doing, they're really unstoppable at this point. So from the Rams' perspective, the only chance they have a bunch of dirty, thuggish-type players. They need to be extremely physical, Wade Phillips-style, and make the Patriots more finesse, one-dimensional type of team. And I would assume that they know that.
Hey,
and
Anthony,
I hope that the Patriots realize that, yes?
Do you think the Pats were unstoppable last week?
Offensively, when you can run the ball and control the clock like that, and then at any point you want to unleash Tom Brady in a passing attack, that was a difficult game. This is a totally different game. What I'm saying is if the Rams truly have a chance, they can't let the Patriots push them around like that. And so it's going to be a battle of the trenches and a battle of who can be more physical.
Okay, well, the line play is going to be big. There's no question about it. What, Mass? What's wrong?
If the Rams have a chance. So now, again, this is blowing my mind. 2 weeks ago, we didn't think this Patriots team would make it through these two rounds. Now they have, and they're unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
People are going too much in the other direction
no.
here.
No.
And this was
what did you expect?
So, okay, but
I never sensed that.
It's irrational. It's irrational.
No.
And I'm telling you, I'm not telling you this, that this is some sort of, because you and I talked about this briefly off the air yesterday. People are way overreacting to this.
I've spent 3 days talking about it on the air.
The Rams went 13-3.
If Dee Ford puts his hand a foot closer to his stance, you lose. You lose.
The Rams don't have a chance.
And now you're unstoppable. I've been saying this for 3 days.
Vegas has got this game at 3 points, and it started basically at even.
They started a Rams -1.
I mean, it started there. It's a toss-up. That's the way Vegas looks at it. No, at least that's where it started.
No, Vegas had the Rams favored slightly, and all the public has pushed all the money to the Patriots. It's moved to 2.5, 3 points, all on public money. 86% of the public money has gone on the Patriots.
See, this is the type of stupidity that got them in trouble last year. This is what got them in trouble last year. That somehow they are invulnerable. Now, I separate the team from the fan base because I think the team last year fell into it, clearly, based on what Van Noy said. There was some measure of we're not going to lose this game, and then they got blindsided. They couldn't stop Philadelphia, and who knows whether Malcolm Butler would have made a difference or not. But they gave up 41 points to Nick Foles.
Something tells me it couldn't have been worse.
Now, look, I thought that Philly team was a worthy opponent. Okay, going into the game, and I told you I thought the Patriots defense was going to have a problem. So I hate to be the voice of doom again. But this game is not a slam dunk. And anyone who acts like that is an asshat.
But you can call us regardless. The asshat line is 617-779-0985. Guess what's coming up at 3 o'clock, Ted Johnson. Guess what's coming up at 3:50?
Who?
More Ted Johnson?
No.
Oh, crap. Hold on. Let me get on the phone.
Who tickets?
Felger, please hook me up. Let me win a pair of tickets. Dun, 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 dun. Who you got on the phone? Is it Lanny? Oh, Tom Morgan. Tom, pick up. Hello? Tom? No,
yes.
No one knows what it's like to be the sad man.
Yeah, Felger, do you know who the quarterback of the Patriots is?
No, who?
Tommy.
Without a pair of ticks. Won't you please?
He's a football wizard.
Because I'm a guy who loves to party. Hello?
Who tickets at 3:50?
Hello?
Good luck on that. Here's Murray's update.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Brady under pressure. Escapes the sack. Launching one for the end zone. There's a jump ball and it's incomplete. And Brock was there. And for the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
What Bill Belichick did was an outright disgrace. You got a guy in Malcolm Butler who's arguably been your best defensive player for the last 3 years, who played 97.8% of your snaps this season. He doesn't find out until right before the national anthem that he's not going to play at all, and you call that a football decision? Who does something like that? This is one of the most cruelest decisions that I've ever seen in my life. Malcolm Butler is sitting on the sidelines crying. There's no justification for this. They're talking about it's a football decision. You're supposed to be giving your team the best shot to win, and you do it like that? I think it was classless. I think it was cruel. I think it was wrong on the part of Bill Belichick. And I believe that is the question that he should be spending the entire week answering. Who doesn't like that? I don't get that.
Does Belichick have to atone for last year? Belichick owe you one, Murray? Does he have to atone for it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because I think that they, not only for the Malcolm Butler thing, right? I definitely think that they took that team lightly. I really do. Because Nick Foles, okay, he's been good on third down, fourth down in the postseason.
41 points? Are you giving up 41 points to that guy?
No, that's ridiculous. And I knew, I know deep down, I don't know how any other fans or anyone in that building felt that night. When it went up, because they missed the extra point, they go 9-3. When they got that touchdown, the 34-yard touchdown on Nelson Aguilar in the first, I was like, oh, no. They really have a game, because I thought they were going to kill that team. Finally, I didn't think I was going to get a nail biter in the Super Bowl. And right at that moment, I was like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. So, yeah, the way that they played defensively, not even with the Malcolm Butler thing, I think they took that team lightly. I do.
You know, no shame in losing this game. The Rams have been one of the best teams in the league wire to wire. You know, hottest young coach, good young quarterback, stars on both sides of the ball. Okay.
And in the offseason, they went all in like they're the 2011 Eagles with the spending spree that everyone brought in.
Spent a lot of money, a lot of talent. Vegas looked at it on day one and said it's pretty even. You lose that game straight up. I don't think there's any great shame in that. Last year, you lose to a, I know this is a rookie head coach too, but a rookie head coach and a backup quarterback giving up 41.
I mean, they got gashed again. I called up the game book again just to refresh my memory. They gave up 6 yards a carry, 6.1.
And Nick Garrett freaking Blunt.
164 yards on the ground, 6.1 average. And Nick Foles' rating was, for the Eagles' passer rating as a team was 113.3 because they had that trick
Burton
play at the goal
or whatever,
line. Yeah, Burton at the goal line.
He shredded.
They did. They got absolutely shredded. They get shredded. And look, I think they, I mean, to me, there's no question they underestimated the Eagles. And the big one I would revisit, and Bedard has talked about this, they treated Zach Ertz like he was a nobody. They did. They treated Zach Ertz like he was a nobody, and they got toasted by that.
Okay, so that's the backdrop, and it's a jump-off point. Kyle Van Noy's comments yesterday to the Midday Show, where he said they were humbled last year, and they're not taking anything for granted, implying, and I'm adding, like we did last year. So I thought that was a pretty revealing comment by Van Noy. Here's Steve in Haverhill. Go ahead, Steve.
How you doing, guys? I know that Brady is, you know, very clutch and one of the top few of all time. But after the Kansas City game, I believe that it is Belichick 51%. When you can throw two interceptions away at Kansas City and you still win, it's, I've always thought this all along, but the case wasn't totally closed, and I've closed it today.
Okay, babe, we've closed. This year, I think it's been Belichick more than Brady. This year, I think the coaching's been more important than the quarterback play. You can't make that case some of these previous years. Not the year before, where Bill's defense gives up 41 in the Super Bowl and Tom wins the MVP. I mean, so what's more important there? It feels like one guy did his job, the other one didn't. This year, I think the coaching's been a little more important as Brady took a half step back. But here you go. Brady, with the money on the table, looks like himself again.
Yeah, and look, I just think when you look at the overall way the team was managed this year, it's hard to criticize Belichick for it now. They get their best at the very end when they need it to be.
Here's Brian in Salisbury. How do you feel about the defensive game plan this year?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I want to talk about my lack of confidence in Bill's ability to adjust the defensive game plan in game, especially after halftime. I mean, last week, J.C. Jackson almost single-handedly cost us the game. And in my opinion, if we don't win that coin toss, they throw the ball to whoever he's covering five straight times, and they win the ball game. Hmm. And they leave him on the field. You know, it used to be a strength. After halftime, we came out and shut people down, and now it's like the same old story. Wherever they did in the first half, it just picks up in the second half.
Well, they didn't make the adjustments last year, that's for sure, in this game. Is that a valid criticism in Kansas City?
I mean, a little bit, but
I just think the game opened up.
Well, so I was just going to say that Kansas City was going to score, but with regard to J.C. Jackson, I say a little bit because it got wild there. And who are you going to put in instead?
I was going to say, they already had the Crossen kid in there, and they had those guys on there. Like, I mean, who else is left?
Who's going to play? Jonathan Jones?
Right.
Because I don't want him out there. Like, you know, Rowe's not an option. You want Jason McCourty playing? I don't. Not in that role. Not, no way. So they're kind of hosed there. I mean, if they're, you know, if Jackson has a tough night, they're going to have an issue there.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Jimmy Stewart put together a nice montage encapsulating this entire season. You'll hear that coming back, and we'll get right to your phones.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, you're going to see me playing football next year.
Definitely going to look at my future.
So you say that you will be back coaching next year. Is that what you said?
I said I'll address that question.
Why did McDaniels turn down the Colts?
Truth of the matter is he was never entirely comfortable with the situation. And even though he did agree to the contract.
I've been riding dirt bikes. I've been training really hard. I can vroom, vroom really good.
It's the third phase of the New England Patriots off-season workout program. And Tom Brady is not there, and he's not going to be there.
I'm here now, focused on what I need to do.
Patriots wide receiver Julian Edelman is facing a 4-game suspension for performance-enhancing substance.
Patriots just canceled the last 2 days of OTAs. It sends a very obvious message. The end is near.
The job of ownership is to keep continuity when you have something good. The Belichick-Brady combo has been pretty good.
It's important for me to have a good season in 2018. I'm going to do everything I can to do that.
This team needs a great quarterback. Hope I can go out and beat that.
Brady takes the snap. He throws it left towards Rock. He makes the catch over two defenders and steps across the pylon for a touchdown. Patriots!
Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski will face the Lions tonight. He easily could have been playing for them instead.
Yeah, it happened. Brady's my quarterback. Wasn't going anywhere without Brady.
The Patriots have now agreed to terms with the Browns to trade for Josh Gordon.
Everybody feels like this is a talented player. We'll see how it goes.
I have no doubt I can, you know, take advantage of this opportunity. I'm more than blessed. I'm extremely grateful to be put in this scenario.
Long hierarchy pass to the end zone. Caught by Gordon in the right side of the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
So sexy, Flash Gordon.
That was a great play Josh made. Tells you the kind of confidence I have in a really short period of time. So he's earned it. Happy to see him make that play.
Tied at 40. The snap and play. Swing the right leg. Kick left into the uprights. Right down the middle. A game winner for Gostkowski. And these teams may very well meet again.
I don't think we've seen our best.
I'd say playing against Aaron Rodgers is very, very difficult.
He's just so good.
Wide open. Gordon makes the catch. Slips a hit. Goodbye. Touchdown, Patriots.
More bad news concerning Josh Gordon. Yeah. He was suspended indefinitely again by the league.
The New England Patriots, they're bound for the divisional round of the AFC playoff tournament with a bye for the ninth straight year.
My mindset is just all focused on the Chargers.
Brady turns, gives to Michelle, runs up the middle, pushing the pile, driving his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! And the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year.
Yep.
As they will meet in the AFC Championship game.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see.
Patriots staffer told me early in the week, Brady walked into the facility and said, and I quote, "I am the baddest mother on the planet."
Mahomes out of the shotgun. Zings it for the end zone. Caught by Kelce on a slant. Touchdown. Throw for Dale Williams. He catches the football. Right side. Touchdown.
They're going to run a screen near side. Damian Williams set up. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown.
Brady takes the snap. Gives to Michelle. Runs it right. First down and more. Untouched. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Oh my
as
God.
They regain the lead.
Damian Williams into the end zone. Blast in there. Touchdown.
He's going to turn and give it to Burkett. He runs left behind Devlin. He blows his way to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Colquitt puts the placement down. Butker's kick. This can't be more perfect. The Chiefs have tied the game.
Heads. It is heads.
You want the ball.
Adamant open to midfield. Makes the catch and then lunges forward across the 45.
Third down and he picks up 20.
Caught by Edelman on the run to the left side of the 30.
That's a 15-yard dagger on third and 10 again.
Gronk makes the catch at the 20 and he's tackled. Whoa. Caught at the shoelaces. Third and long conversions times three on this drive in overtime. Brady under center. A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win. Touchdown, Patriots. And they're bound for Super Bowl 53.
America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years. It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
Happy for our team, happy for our coaching staff, our players, and the entire organization for what we accomplished tonight. And we'll start getting ready for the Rams.
The odds were stacked against us, and it hasn't been that way for us for a while. And it certainly was this year. It was a great team win.
Great job, Jimmy Stewart, putting that together. 2018 season montage. Here we are in the Super Bowl again. And last year's loss is at a backdrop. According to Kyle Van Noy, it is. Back to the phones, as promised. Keith in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, every year Brady has a bad playoff game, right?
Yeah, that used to be the way. It's sort of been a while, actually. And I don't know what you consider Kansas City. I don't think it definitely wasn't bad. But it's been a while since he's had a true clunker. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, last year he didn't. But like you said, he had two picks in Kansas City and only a 77 QB rating. So I'm feeling that was his bad game.
Okay, maybe. I mean, I think Brady was incredibly clutch in that game. Was he great in that game?
No.
I mean, I don't think he was.
No, look, I said this earlier. What would you give him as a grade for the game? And, Murray, I think you said B+.
Yeah, B+.
I said to me it was a B+ kind of game. He was huge at the big moments, but don't tell me it was an A. It wasn't an A. He made a lot of mistakes.
So the caller said his clunker's out of the way. We'll see.
I like him indoors. I always like him indoors.
Oh, his numbers indoors are stupid. Stupid good. Matt in Framingham, quickly.
Hey, you're not going to hear the palace cue out of me again. I think Bill Belichick literally coached himself out of it. I think that he coached up a second corner in J.C. Jackson. I think that ever since that Pittsburgh game, when he was 45 minutes late to the podium, you know, he ripped into that team, and they've been a different team ever since. And this game against the Rams is going to be hotter than Felger's nips when he was ball gagged. I'm telling you, they got two very tough guys right up the middle. And you want to talk about who's going to win the line of scrimmage? I mean, I don't know how we're going to win the line of scrimmage against those guys. That they're going to run stuff, they're going to pass rush, and pass rushing up the middle is why I was worried about San Diego. I think the Rams are the type of team who can get it done and get to Brady.
Okay, so the Pats O-line versus their D-line, great matchup. Strength on strength.
I mean, to me, that's like the biggest matchup of the game. You know, and I don't think I'm telling you anything that a million other people wouldn't tell you with that one.
So I don't think Bill spent 45 minutes getting to the podium in Pittsburgh because he was yelling at the team. I think it was something else. And it had to do with the fact that he was too early the week before, and no one got to see him at the podium, and so he was asked to show up a little later, and so in true Belichick fashion, he showed up 45 minutes later. I think that was closer to the bone than him yelling at the team, and I don't feel like that turned the corner because the next week against Buffalo, they weren't so hot either, were they? It was that Jets game, which we all laughed at. There was one person who said they flipped the switch against the Jets. That was Ted Johnson. And we laughed at Teddy when he said that.
Yep.
But how have they been since that game? Not too shabby. So something happened in there. Something happened in there. Maybe they got close. It just came time and they tasted it and, you know, had a different, you know, several different motivating factors and it all came together. Because certainly they did flip a switch. That is for sure. Will it be enough? Okay, we got one more game to find out. Speaking of Ted Johnson, he joins us coming up in 90 seconds. No commercials, just Murray's update. Then we get TJ in studio. Also, WHO tickets at the end of next hour, so stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.